We are not saved by making promises to God. How many of us make promises to God all the time? Oh, I promise to change my life. I promise to do this. We are saved by believing God's promises to us and by acting on them. God gave his covenant to Abraham, and he responded with faith and obedience. See, usually we don't have to make promises. All we have to do is fulfill the promise of God to us, what God is asking to us, and that is sufficient enough. How we respond to God's promises determines what God will do in our life. Isn't that interesting? How we respond to God's promises will determine what God will do in our life. When God makes a covenant, he enters into an agreement of commitment to commit himself to give what he promises. God did not give Abraham reasons or explanations like we all demand of God. He simply gave him promises. I will show thee, I will make thee, I will bless thee. I will bless them that blesses thee. God promises to show him a land, make him into a great nation, and use that nation to bless the whole world. See, God blesses us that we might be a blessing to others. Isn't that interesting? God blesses us that we might be a blessing to others. And his great concern is that the whole world might be blessed. So we become an instrument of that blessing when we embrace the will of God. It must have seemed incredible to Abraham and Sarah that God would bless the whole world through an elderly, childless couple. But that is just what he did. From them came the nation of Israel, and from Israel came the promise and the Savior. God reaffirmed this covenant with Isaac, Jacob, and fulfilled it in Christ. Faith brings us in. God brings us out of sin that he might bring us into life. See, faith brings us in. When we hear God's word and we go into that word, God will bring us out of sin that he might bring us into life. But we must respond. And so faith demands commitment. That is a big word. Faith demands commitment. Commitment is a vanishing commodity in today's world. Many people don't want to be committed to their jobs, their marriage vows, or to one another. I am going to do my thing my way. It always makes me nervous when I'm at a funeral and one of the pieces of music that they ask is from Frank Sinatra, "I Did It My Way." Seriously, they have asked that. And the first thing that pops into my mind is, I hate to say this, but Lucifer, I will not serve. I will not serve. See, to do things my way is the essence of today's philosophy. And this attitude has invaded the church. Many believers do not want to commit themselves in one church, but move from church to church when the pastor or music programs change, or when the homilies are too tough and demanding. Temporary is the key word in today's society. Where would we be if Abraham and Sarah had not committed themselves to obey the Lord by faith? Where would we be if previous generations of Christians had not given themselves fully to the Lord? May the next generation look back at us and say, they were faithful. Claiming our inheritance involves tests and temptations. Do you hear that? I think we forget that in our life, because we want the easy life. We want the easy faith. We want the non-challenging faith. But see, claiming our inheritance involves tests and temptations, challenges and battles. But God is able to see us through. St. Paul said to the Philippians, "And I am sure that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ." We must remember that, because if God asks of us something, even though with all the trials, temptations, the battles that are going to ensue, we must remember what St. Paul said, that if God has begun this good work in us, He will bring it to completion. But it demands commitment on our part. It demands that we listen to the Word of God continually, not just once, twice, but for the rest of our life. See, obedience to that word leads to new assurances and new promises of God. Obedience to the word, to the call of God, leads to new assurances. It's about growing. It's about maturing in our faith. What comfort it must have brought when Abraham and Sarah had this fresh revelation of God as they arrived in a strange and dangerous land. When you walk by faith, you know that God is with you and you do not need to be afraid. We do not need to be afraid. God will work out His purposes and accomplish them in and through us when we listen and obey. Most of us are not commanded to pull up stakes and go to a strange country, but the challenges to our faith are just as real within our own homes, within our own workplaces, within our own parish, within our own society. Sometimes there are serious problems at home, on the job, in the church, and we wonder why God has permitted these things to happen to us. If we are to claim our spiritual inheritance in Christ, we must display faith in God's word. But not just faith, we must show obedience to His most holy will. God kept Abraham moving so that he would meet new challenges and be forced to trust God for new grace, for greater help. See, the comfortable Christian is opposite the life of faith. Pilgrims and strangers must face new circumstances if they are to gain new insights about themselves and their Lord. Let us grow in maturity. Let us be willing to pick up, to pull up stakes in our own personal life, to drop our preconceived ideas, our expectations, and go where God is asking us to go, and to make the sacrifices that God is asking us to make. Because God will do and can do great things in and through us. We can be a blessing to our families, to our workplace, to our parish. But we must be willing to grow. We must be willing to walk the direction that God is calling us to walk in. In the pilgrim life, we must go from faith to faith. When God asks us to go from point A to point M, remember we have to cross through B, C, D, E, F, G. And at each time we make those points, God calls us to deeper faith. Faith is not believing in spite of evidence. It is obeying in spite of the consequences. Faith is not believing in spite of evidence. It is obeying in spite of confidence, of consequences. God has wedded both faith and obedience, faith and works, like two sides of a coin. They go together. Faith and works. Faith, obedience. How did Abraham know where to go and what to do? He called upon the name of the Lord. He prayed to the Lord, and the Lord helped him. See, Abraham was in constant communication with God. He was constantly praying to our Lord God. And so when God asks us to pick up stakes, we must continue to pray. We must continue to seek His will. We must continue to listen to Him. Because when we want to put up those three tents, just like Peter did, God's going to move us from point C to point D. Listen to Him. Listen to Him. The faith that saves is the faith that proves itself in good works. Abraham was saved by faith, but his faith was made evidenced by his obedience, by following through with his life. Abraham is now in the place of God's appointment. doing what God told him to do. But this is not the end. It is the beginning of his pilgrimage. Even in the place of obedience, we will face tests and trials, for that is how faith grows. Abraham had to struggle. Are we any better? But the same Lord who brought us out, brought us in, and will bring us through if we follow him by faith. Let us remember that God does not break his covenant with man. It is man who breaks his covenant with God by his sin. The blessings are there and waiting, but man must first humble himself. Repent and be obedient so as to receive freely this gift. Abraham and Sarah were not perfect. Oh, how many mistakes they made. How many times they disobeyed. Abraham took Lot with him, and Lot caused him nothing but problems. And God did not tell Abraham to take Lot with him. But God worked with the consequences still. And Abraham had to suffer the consequences. They ran off to Egypt when they weren't supposed to, and they suffered the consequences. See, when they sinned, they suffered for it, and the Lord was always ready to forgive when they repented. The victorious Christian life is actually a series of new beginnings. As we look at the life of Abraham and Sarah, we will learn what faith truly is and how to walk by that faith. We will discover that when we trust the Lord, no test is impossible and no failure is permanent. We will discover that when we trust the Lord, no test is impossible and no failure is permanent. There's this beautiful poem that I like. It's called At His Feet by George Eliot. And it goes, as soon as we lay ourselves entirely at His feet, we have enough light given to us to guide our own steps. As the foot soldier who hears nothing of the counsels that determine the course of the great battle he is in, hears plainly enough the word, the command which he himself must obey.